Please turn in the back of the Psalter hymnal to page 61, Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 49, question and answer 124, page 61. As we continue our series, this part through the Lord's Prayer, we come to the third request. The question asks, what does the third request mean? Thy will be done. On earth as it is in heaven means, help us and all men to reject our own wills and to obey your will without any backtalk. Your will alone is good. Help everyone carry out the work he is called to as willingly and faithfully as the angels in heaven. Let us take our Bibles and turn in them, the New Testament, first to the book of Romans, chapter 12, page 1205, Romans 12. We'll read the first two verses. Romans 12, hear now, congregation, the very words of God. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. And let us turn over to Ephesians chapter 6. It's found on page 1245. Ephesians 6, we'll read verses 5 through 9. Ephesians 6, verse 5. Bondservants, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart, as you would Christ, not by the way of eye service as people pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, rendering service with a good will, as to the Lord and not to man, knowing that whatever good anyone does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether he is a bondservant or is free. Masters, do the same to them, and stop your threatening, knowing that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and that there is no partiality with him. Thus far, the reading of God's holy word. A congregation, if you observe children as they're learning to do something, sometimes they'll ask for your help. Sometimes, no, they want to do it by themselves. That can be good. In fact, we want our children to grow and mature and learn to do things, but we ought not to carry that over into how we relate with God, our Heavenly Father. We never outgrow our need for God to help us constantly. Now, sometimes we realize our need for help. Other times, though, don't we think we can handle life pretty well? Jesus, though, he knows our spiritual weakness, and he taught us this request in the Lord's Prayer, not only to bring out the need to do God's will in this world, but also how much we need God's help to do that. So I proclaim to you this evening, pray for help to do your Heavenly Father's will. Pray for help to do your Heavenly Father's will. First, we consider the divine will, the divine will. In this third request of the Lord's Prayer, we pray, your will be done, your will. But about whose will are we speaking? God's will, the divine will. Now that seems obvious, but we need to be reminded of this, because think to our prayers. And so often we stray and we ask God to do our will. We ask, Lord, would you help us to win this game, or would you keep us safe, or would you show me the best thing to do here for success? Now, it's not necessarily wrong to pray these things, but it often seems in our prayers, at least prayers we hear offered by many around us, and we catch ourselves often also, that prayer is asking God to do our will. what we want to be done. And that is completely opposite from what Jesus taught us to pray. We are not to pray that God would do our will. He is not some big grandfather in the sky to give us what we want, to give us our best earthly life now. Instead, Jesus teaches us to pray, "Your will be done." He taught us to pray asking that the divine will would be done. We read of that in Romans 12:2. The Apostle Paul wrote that as our minds are renewed, we will be able to test and approve what God's will is. Not ours. Not the will of society around us, but God's will, His good and acceptable and perfect will. So brothers and sisters, for what do you pray? Are your prayers centered around your will? What you want to be done, what you want God to do for you. It's not how we are to pray. Remember that we are praying to the God of the universe, the exalted one, the Lord. He created us. He created us to glorify Him and to enjoy Him forever. We did not create God to help us, to glorify us. So we are to pray that His will would be done. What is this will for which we're praying then? What is this will that by God's grace, as the Apostle Paul wrote, we will be able to test and approve this good and acceptable and perfect will? It is God's revealed will, specifically His law, God's commandments, God's revealed will, as it often is called. This is the divine will that we are praying to be done in this request. It's the same will that we read every Sunday morning, as we read the Ten Commandments, as we hear the summary of the law. It is the will of God found throughout the Bible, governing our private thoughts, our desires, our family life, our work, our schooling, our politics, the church. We considered last time that petition when we pray, "Your kingdom come," that Christ is Lord over every realm of life, over every moment of our lives. So when we pray, "Your will be done," we're praying that God's will, God's commands, God's directions for every area of life, in every moment of our lives, that we would follow them, we would obey. Brothers and sisters, we're called by the help of the Holy Spirit to consider our thoughts, our desires, our words, our actions in all of life, to examine them in light of the Word of God, God's will. What God says we should be, what God says we should do. We think of when we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we often have a week of preparation, self-examination. But that's something, that examination, we are to do all the time and not just wait until those times when we celebrate the Lord's Supper. Are we seeking to live in obedience to God? Are we seeking to live as His children, to obey His commands in every part, in every moment of our life? As we think about ourselves, don't we see, though, that we don't. Perhaps at certain times, perhaps whole areas of our lives, we want to do what we want to do, rather than seeking, as the Apostle Paul wrote, to test and approve what God's will is, His good and acceptable and perfect will. There are times, aren't there, when you and I, we know what we ought to do, but then we don't do it. Children, you have that. We all have that. We're tempted to be spiritually lazy. Tempted even to go against our conscience as it pricks us about God's will. And we are to examine ourselves that by God's grace we would not be conformed, as Paul wrote, not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of our mind. Each one of us, from the youngest to the oldest, we have areas in our lives that need to be reformed even more. We have sins we need to repent of. By God's grace, repent of your sins. Turn to God, confessing where you find you have not done His will, you have not obeyed His commands. Pray, "Lord, Your will be done." See, we turn away from ourselves. We seek life not in ourselves, but in Jesus Christ. That's the heart of Christianity. God coming to us and turning us out of ourselves toward Him. By God's grace, we recognize and we're convicted there is no life in ourselves. In ourselves, by nature, there is only sin, there is only rebellion, disobedience. Our will, by nature, is not God's will. Our hope is in Christ. Our life is in Him. He is our righteousness before God. For in Jesus, the righteousness of God was accomplished. The gospel of Jesus, the righteousness of God is revealed. A righteousness that meets God's approval, that perfectly fulfills God's will. For Jesus perfectly obeyed God. And He offered His precious holy blood to be shed on Golgotha's cross so that all our sins against God's will would be forgiven. All those who entrust themselves to Jesus, believer, you have forgiveness of your sins for Jesus' sake. God forgives your sins. God declares you to have done His will as Christ did, because Christ did. And there is no further obligation, nothing further you need to do so that God would declare you to be obedient or righteous. So we pray this, not so that we would have righteousness to present to God so that He declares us righteous. We pray this so that we would live out the righteousness Christ has already obtained for us. By faith in Jesus, because of Jesus, you are righteous. Praise God. You're going to say, Lord, now help me to do your will. Christ has brought it into this world. The Spirit joining me to Christ, impart it to me. Your will be done. Pray for help to do your Heavenly Father's will, the divine will, not our will. Divine will. But there's more for which we pray in this request. As we move to in our second point, there's also a divine calling. Divine calling. When we meet someone, especially men, as we meet someone for the first time, one of the first questions that are usually asked is, what do you do? What do you do for a living? We find out, are they a salesman, a factory worker, a manager, a farmer? Young adults, number in our congregation, you've recently graduated from high school or college. How many times have you been asked? Well, what are you going to do now? What's next? Well, think about that question. So often, the focus is on our will there, isn't it? Our doing. But as Christians, in times past especially, we would often speak of a calling. A calling. That changes, that shifts how we think of things. Instead of, well, what do you plan on doing? Well, the focus on us and our will, a calling is something that someone else has placed upon us. What God has placed upon us. And rather than asking what that person does, the human's will, asking about a calling focuses on God's will for that person. What God has said, you will do this. A small difference in words, but it's a completely different perspective. Of course, it's not wrong to ask someone what they plan on doing. Most people don't put much thought into that question. It's just something we ask, like, well, how are you today? But think about what we're asking, what we're thinking. Man's will or God's will? Having the perspective that God calls us to our life's work, we can understand and we can live with what the Apostle Paul wrote in Ephesians 6 about bondservants. Or you can see the footnote there, slaves. Now, although in that culture some persons would sell themselves into servitude, different ways someone could become a slave, Bible times, many times it was a hard life. Bond servants in the Roman Empire had limited, slaves had no rights. The Apostle Paul, though, he wrote there, bond servants, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart as you would Christ. Then verse 6. Not by the way of eye service as people pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. A bondservant doing the will of God. That's what the Bible says. Even with all the hardships of slavery, the apostle wrote that slaves do the will of God when they obey their earthly master. The will of God is there. That calling is there, even in slavery. Now, at our time in history, we're thankful that our society long ago did away with slavery. It's something that occurred in Bible times too, but we're convinced that slavery, especially as we think of it, goes against God's design in creation. But even in that situation of slavery, Christians who were also slaves had their calling as slaves from God. Of course, the Apostle Paul wrote elsewhere that if a slave had the opportunity to gain his freedom, he ought to do so. But while he was a slave, he was to recognize that's God's calling. God's calling for him, for her, at that time. And therefore, he was, as the apostle wrote, to do the will of God. Do the will of God from the heart. Notice how the apostle gives the Christian slave a wonderful perspective for viewing his calling as Christ's slave, a bondservant of Christ, verse 6. The Christian slave is a slave of Christ, and that's true for every Christian. Even one who's a master of earthly slaves. Each Christian is a slave of Christ, whether our earthly situation is one of slave or king. You're all slaves of Christ, and so we are to seek to obey God's will, whether as a slave of men or a king of men or somewhere in between as we are. Now, people of God, since even as a slave one could do the will of God, every activity you do in this life is not to be something left up to you. Whatever your will to do. Certainly, from a human standpoint, we have freedom. We're thankful for that. But as we live under the lordship of Jesus, so we are to seek to do the will of God in everything. Young people, as you think about your future, schooling or work, approach it of thinking about God's calling, God's will. We're not speaking about God's hidden will, His secret will, His plan for the universe that we only find out as time passes on and things happen. Rather, consider it is God who calls you to further education. God who calls you to a certain type of work. God who called bondservants. Don't live as the world lives, simply to gain more money, to become famous, to have more free time so you can do what you want to do. Don't live life for 5 days doing what you have to do to have 2 days to do what you want to do. Do God's will. What's His calling for you? Now, doesn't mean every true Christian or every devout Christian will become a missionary or a minister. Not at all. In fact, God had a calling for bondservants, for slaves. God calls each person to the work they are to carry out. Students, engineers, farmers, salesmen, inspectors, programmers, factory workers, housewives. Every legitimate calling is a calling from God. And within that calling, God has given you work to do, His work. And you are to carry out that work that God has called you to. Kingdom work is not only work within the church, is not only work done for a religious organization or a missionary group. Kingdom work is work that every Christian is to do by carrying out the work God has called you, by obeying Him, doing His will from the heart. Even a slave would be doing kingdom work, would be doing God's will, so long as he or she, by God's grace, would follow the apostles' instructions there in Ephesians 6. As you pray then, congregation, pray that God would help you to carry out the work He has called you to. You can pray for every area of your life because it's God who calls you to work in every area. Be confident then that as you in faith ask your Heavenly Father to help you do the work He's called you to, He gives grace. He gives you the grace to do it. He gives you the strength. Now, it doesn't mean that we'll have earthly success in our earthly labor. That's not what we're praying for here. Your earthly work might not end up prosperous or successful business-wise. You might even have your venture or business fail. Success, earthly-wise, is not a sure test of God's favor that I must have done God's will. I'm successful. Now, if a venture or business fails because of dishonesty or sinful decisions, well, yes, of course, repent. But simply because something you do fails doesn't mean you are sinning in doing it, necessarily. Earthly success is no sign of spiritual success, necessarily. And look again at what Paul wrote here in Ephesians 6. These were to obey their master's will, God's will, but they were still slaves, bondservants. That's not earthly success. But they were to obey their earthly masters. That's what they were to pray for divine help to obey. Divine help. And surely in doing God's will, we need that. The divine will, the divine calling, we need divine help. That's what we move to in our third point, divine help. As we pray, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, we're not simply praying, though, that spiritual good results would occur, that righteousness would be performed. That's true. But we're also praying for all that leads up to the results, which begins by rejecting our plans, our desires, our schemes, our will. The Catechism brings that out so well. Help us and all men to reject our own wills. And we need God's help for that. By nature, we hate God, we hate our neighbor. Even after the Holy Spirit changes our hearts, regenerates us, gives us new birth, that sinful nature clings to us, and we struggle with willing what is right and good, willing God's will, rejecting our own. Children, you'll struggle. Young people, you'll struggle. The oldest here struggles. We see this, don't we? Especially sometimes it's so apparent in children as the parents are training them. They want to do what they want to do. Parents, you need to train those children that by God's grace they are to reject their own wills. They're God's children too. Baptism is a sign and seal of God's promise. And so you are to train your children. Look, you are God's child. Reject your own will. Obey God without any back talk. And we need God's help for that. You can't do it in yourself. I can't. And Jesus knows that. Jesus knows our sins. He knows our struggles. Even though he himself is sinless, he told us to pray to God for help to reject our own wills. Prayer isn't saying how good we are, saying, Lord, I need you. Your will be done. This is something very practical for our own prayers. Ask God to help you reject your own will. Ask God to help you embrace his will and obey his will without any back talk. Again, fathers, as you lead your family in worship around the table or however you do it, at night, before bed, however it is, ask God not only to help your children reject their will and your wife, but ask God for help for you. That's a powerful way of discipling your children. They see that you're trying to submit to God, that you're all aligned, not one against another, not you lording it over, not there to do your will, but all to do God's will. Pray for that. Pray that God would work in the hearts of your children and your own heart, that they would reject, that you would reject your own will. And that's a wonderful way to disciple your family. And children, you are to obey your parents, but all are to obey God. Not one of us is to follow our own wills. We're all to obey God's will, and we need divine help for that. Children, pray for that. Ask God to help you obey your parents, to reject your own will, to do God's will. The Apostle Paul spoke to the divine help we need to do God's will when in our reading from Romans, we are to be transformed by the renewal of our mind. We're not to transform ourselves. We can't. Instead, we are to be transformed. God must transform us by the renewal of our minds. Now, Paul doesn't say there how our minds are renewed, but the only other place where that word renewed, renewal, appears in the Bible is Titus 3:5. And the idea is found throughout the Bible. It is God the Holy Spirit who renews us. You don't renew your own mind. Only God does that. And by the renewal of your mind, God transforms you. And as God transforms you, you are able then to test and discern what God's will is. But this renewal, this transforming, are God's work. And so we need to pray for it. We need to pray for God's help in rejecting our own will, in obeying His will, in being renewed and being transformed. And here again, brothers and sisters, it's a very practical thing for which we are to pray. Ask God, Lord, renew my mind. Ask God to have you think in a new way, a heavenly way of thinking. Embracing the kingdom of heaven, the righteousness, peace, joy that Jesus Christ has brought to us. Having that shape your priorities, your values, your idea of right and wrong, the way you view the world. Ask God to turn your mind away from what the world values, from how the world thinks, from how the world interprets reality, power, pleasure, money, fame, experience, so forth, to how God defines reality. Ask God for that. He answers. Oh, as we've said previous times, it might not be like a lightning bolt from the sky. It might. But this renewal happens our whole life long. Over time, as you pray this, sincerely pray this, God answers. Of course, as we sincerely pray this, we are to make use of the means God has given, through which the Holy Spirit ordinarily renews our minds and transforms us, faithfully, attentively attending to the preaching of the Word. Read the Bible. Study the Bible on your own as a family. If you have difficulty understanding the Bible, ask an elder, ask me for help in understanding whether just one passage or even how to go about reading and understanding the Bible. The Men's Society group has been studying how to rightly study the Bible, and we hope to continue that study and conclude it in the fall. Here is how you know God's will. It's not by sitting back and waiting for some impression or some thought or some feeling. Dig into this, God's Word. Before and after you read the Bible, before and after worship service, ask the Lord, Lord, renew me. Renew my mind by your Spirit through your Word. But there's something more in asking our Heavenly Father's help in this. As many times in life, we're exhausted. We're tired. We're worn out. You know, this request, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, the Catechism brings out, help everyone to carry out the work he is called to as willingly and faithfully as the angels in heaven. As far as we know, angels who do God's will perfectly, they don't have the affliction, the frailty that we do. We who live in a fallen world, we who live in bodies that are broken by the fall. Our sin, others' sin, the fallenness of this world, that can be so discouraging. And we feel mentally, emotionally, spiritually drained. Maybe you know someone who suffers, being melancholy, depression. Often such a person, they have no drive, they go through life drained. They don't care. For you who struggle, for you, for me, Jesus told us, pray this. Lord, help me to do your will, to carry out the work you have given me. I can't do it. You can't do it. You lack the strength. You lack the emotional vigor. You and I, we lack the will. Confess to God, perhaps you would rather mope. Maybe you would rather sleep. Maybe you would rather watch television on end. Maybe you would rather play the 10th hour straight of a video game. Confess to God. Say, Lord, forgive me for this. And renew me, change me. Help me carry out your will. My will is here, and it ends in brokenness. Pray for one another in this. Make use of the opportunity, perhaps to be a prayer partner with those who will be serving on task in a couple weeks. The Lord would help them. As we examine ourselves, if we're serious about it, we find areas of sin. We find struggle. You'll find you don't carry out God's will as willingly and faithfully as the angels in heaven. You don't, I don't, that's reality. Don't ignore that. Don't just sigh and shrug your shoulders saying, that's just the way I am. Yes, you are that way. I am that way. And if left to yourself, myself, we will always remain that way. But you ought not to be that way. Just because we are that way doesn't mean it's right. Otherwise, Jesus might teach us to pray, Father, thank you, I'm the way I am, accept me, that's it. No. Your will be done. Help me, change me, transform me, renew me. He will answer. He will change you. Perhaps suddenly, again, perhaps over weeks or months or years, he might not remove your earthly struggle, but he renews your mind, renews your heart. And certainly, when we die, then he perfects us. We need Jesus to renew us by his Spirit so we have the desire, the will, the gumption to do what he called us to do. And as we examine ourselves daily, we'll find we need Jesus to do that. And that's in part why we come to church. It's in part why God has given us baptism and the Lord's Supper. We don't have this in ourselves. But we come to God to hear, to receive, to be filled with his grace, to feast upon him, to receive the washing. These are to help you in your struggles, to receive from Jesus his righteousness, forgiveness, his holiness, his life, so that you can live. Trust him. Trust him and turn from yourself. He comes to you and me and our failures, providing just what we need and so much more. What a gracious God we serve. That as we pray this request, your will be done, God has provided the answer. He's given his Son, who's done God's will perfectly, and that obedience is credited to us. God says, you're accepted, my child, because of Jesus. And he gives us the Spirit of Christ, so he renews us for this struggle. Pray for help to do your Heavenly Father's will. Pray that prayer. God's answered it in Jesus, and God answers it by taking what is Christ's and bringing it to you. And he answers it on that day when we leave this life and he perfects us. Trust him. Obey him in the power of his Spirit. And may God receive all the praise. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for having your Son teach us to pray this. It's humbling. It's humbling that we need to ask for help in something that you created us to do, something so basic, so clear, so obvious, so good. And yet we are so broken and so weak in many different ways. Thank you for Jesus. Jesus, thank you for doing your Father's will perfectly. And thank you that that righteousness is credited to us, that we are forgiven all our disobedience. And thank you for sending your Spirit to impart Christ's righteousness, to renew us, to transform us. We need your help. Help us. Help us. And as we do your will, Lord, may we not draw attention to ourselves, but always point back to you and your grace, your mercy, your power that are in Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.